I have called my talk now Word and Silence, the practice of the Jesus Prayer. There are three reasons why I find special value and meaning in the invocation of the holy name of Jesus as a way of prayer. First, it is old yet new, traditional yet contemporary. It is old, it has roots in the Old Testament, in the reverence felt by the Jewish people for the secret name of God. It is rooted also in the New Testament. In his discourse at the Last Supper, John 16:23-24, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in his name. And this is evidently a decisive turning point. He says, "Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive." In Christian history, the Jesus Prayer goes back in its roots at least to the 4th century Egyptian desert, where the early monks formed the practice of offering arrow prayers, short phrases, shot out like an arrow towards God. But if the Jesus Prayer is old, it is also contemporary. It is probably used today more widely than ever in the past. That is surely reassuring. We do not normally think of the end of the 20th century as an era of spirituality. But ours is not only a time of secularism and apostasy. There are shafts of light in the darkness. In the past, at any rate in the Orthodox Church, the Jesus Prayer was largely limited to certain monastic circles. But in our day, it is being used and loved more and more by lay people as well. So that's the first reason, old yet new. Secondly, I see the Jesus Prayer as a bridge-building prayer. It is part of my own heritage as an Orthodox Christian. Yet it is a prayer widely practiced, especially from the 12th century onwards, by Western Christians. So I believe that the Jesus Prayer can serve as a powerful aid in Christian reconciliation. Thirdly, the Jesus Prayer is flexible and resilient. It is a prayer for all seasons, a prayer for everyone. It is simple and direct. It requires no special knowledge, no elaborate preparation. Yet it is a prayer that reaches into the deepest mysteries of contemplation. It is a prayer of inner stillness, but a prayer that can be offered in conditions of tension and distraction, of pain, physical and mental. It is a prayer that can be prayed when other, more complex forms of praying are impossible. It is a way of praying especially suited to our present age of anxiety. What do we mean by the Jesus Prayer? It is a short invocation, frequently repeated, an invocation addressed to Christ as Savior, using the human name given to him at his birth in Bethlehem, the name given by Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his foster father, the name Jesus. In the Eastern Christian tradition, the standard form of the Jesus Prayer is this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. In English, that makes 10 words. In the original Greek, it's only 7 words, though the words have more syllables. Kyrie Iesu Christe, Iesu, eleison me. And in Slavonic, it is again 7 words. Gospodi Iisuse Christe, Sine Božja, pomiluj mea. Now, as you see, that prayer is based on the prayer of the blind man Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho, Luke 18:38. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But we know Jesus not only as Son of David, but as Son of God. We know him as Lord and as Christ. So when we offer the prayer of Bartimaeus, we offer it in a fuller form. But prayer is a conversation, a dialogue, living, personal. Personal words addressed by one living subject, a human being, to another living subject, God, or more exactly to 3 subjects, the Holy Trinity. So because prayer is a personal conversation, freedom is fundamental in prayer. Discipline is also fundamental, but Christ tells us that he came to make us free. You will know the truth, he says, and the truth will make you free. So, in all forms of prayer, and among other forms in the Jesus Prayer, there is no absolute uniformity. And in fact, the sequence of words can vary. We can make the Jesus Prayer longer. We can say at the end, have mercy on me, a sinner. Actually, in Greek, it is not a sinner, but the sinner. Eleison me ton hamartolon. Have mercy on me, the sinner, as if I was the only one. When we say it like that, of course, we bring out more the penitential aspect of the Jesus Prayer. And we make the Jesus Prayer closer to another prayer in Luke chapter 18, the prayer of the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. We can also make the Jesus prayer shorter. Many, especially as they advance in the invocation of the Holy Name, find the standard form too complex. So we might say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord Jesus, or if we wished, my Jesus. Even, we might say, the holy name on its own, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That was common in the medieval West. It is, however, rare in the Christian East. In the Orthodox tradition, it is felt that Jesus on its own, the holy name invoked alone, is too highly charged, too powerful. It needs to be, as it were, diluted by other words. Again, we might wish to say at the end of the prayer, not have mercy on me, but have mercy on us. In this way we would be emphasizing the communal nature of the Jesus prayer. None of us ever prays alone. We always pray in the fellowship, in the community of prayer. If we say, have mercy on us, we are, of course, following the pattern of prayer given to us by our Lord himself. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, us, 5 times, our, 3 times, we, 1. But never in the Lord's Prayer do we say, me, mine, I. When I say the Jesus prayer in the form, have mercy on us, I think sometimes of a story in Dostoevsky's novel, The Brothers Karamazov. A story about an old woman and an onion. I'm sure many of you already know it, but nonetheless, I shall retell it in my own way. I heard it when I was a boy, aged about 10, and I've always remembered it. Once upon a time, there was an old woman, very respectable, very regular in her attendance at church, very strict in her fasting. She died. And she woke up to find herself in a lake of fire. This surprised her very much. She saw her guardian angel walking on the bank. So she called out, there has been some mistake. I'm a very respectable old lady. I should not be here in this lake of fire. Ah, said the angel, do you ever remember an occasion when you helped somebody else? She thought for some time, and she said, yes, once I was gardening, and a beggar came by, and I gave her an onion. Excellent, said the angel, I happen to have the onion with me now. And he reached in his robes and produced it. So she took one end, he took the other, and he began to pull her out. But she was not the only person in the lake of fire. When the others saw what was happening, they crowded round and hung on in the hope of being pulled out as well. This alarmed the old woman, and she began to kick and cry out, let go, let go. It's not you who's being pulled out, it's me. It's not your onion, it's mine. And when she said, it's mine, the onion broke in two, and she fell back into the lake of fire. And there, so I'm told, she still is. That is Dostoevsky's story. If only the old woman had said, it's our onion, would it not have been strong enough to have pulled all of them out of the lake of fire? But when she said, it's mine, not yours, she denied her essential humanity in the image of God the Holy Trinity. We are made in the image of the Trinity, in the image of a God who is mutual love. And so we can only be ourselves by sharing, by entering into relationship, by saying, not I, but we. So if we like, we can say in the Jesus Prayer, have mercy on us. When we offer the Jesus Prayer, yes, indeed, we are sharing together our spiritual onion. The heart of the Jesus Prayer is the holy name Jesus. That is what gives unity to the Jesus Prayer beneath the many variants. In principle, any form of prayer centered upon the name Jesus can, in a broader sense, be called the or a Jesus Prayer. And the name in the Jesus Prayer is seen as possessing sacramental force. The Jesus Prayer is not magic, no. But there is a grace-given connection in the Jesus Prayer between the name and the one who is named. The name mediates to us the presence of the person. It makes the person present. And so the Jesus Prayer is to be seen as a prayer of personal presence, a prayer of personal encounter and meeting with Jesus. Now, the Jesus Prayer uses a dynamic, powerfully charged technique, the discipline of repetition. And the effect of the repetition is to gather a person together, to unify. Repetition focuses us upon a center. And so the Jesus Prayer can be seen as a form of centering prayer. Also, and here I take up what I was saying in my talk earlier this morning, the Jesus Prayer is a prayer that leads us into silence, into listening. Yes, it is a prayer in words, but because the words are few and simple, regularly repeated, it is a prayer that leads us through words into silence. It's the prayer that enables us to find the silence that is hidden within the words. We speak, but at the same time, we listen. So, the prayer of Jesus helps us to overcome Harry Secombe's problem when you could only hear his own voice on the telephone. It's a prayer then of listening, of waiting on God, of gazing. There's a story told from 18th century France of an old man who used to go for a long time each day into church. And his friends asked him, "What are you doing all the time in church?" "I'm praying," he said. And they answered, "You must have a great many things to ask God if you take such a long time praying." With indignation, he responded, "I'm not asking God for anything." "Well," they said, "what are you doing all that time in church?" And he replied, "I just sit and look at God, and God sits and looks at me." To me, that is one of the best definitions that I know of prayer. And it sums up the aim of the Jesus Prayer in particular. That is a way of sitting and looking at God. Let's now consider a little the inner meaning of the Jesus Prayer. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Mi bata logisete. Don't heap up empty phrases as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words, their polylogia." Now, does the Jesus Prayer come under Christ rebuke? Certainly it is a repetition, but it is not a vain repetition if it is said with faith and with love. Within the Jesus Prayer, every word has weight, every word has meaning. And so it's not an empty phrase. It's not polylogia, verbosity. But the Jesus Prayer is, on the contrary, a precise and eloquent confession of faith. Let's explore then a little of the meaning of the Jesus Prayer. In that very attractive 19th century Russian text, attractive but also in some ways misleading, The Way of a Pilgrim, it is said that Jesus' prayer contains the whole of the gospel. All embracing. In what way? First, the Jesus' prayer contains the two poles, the two chief moments of Christian experience. And these two moments are adoration and penitence, or glory and forgiveness. There is, in the Jesus Prayer, a circular movement, a double movement of ascent and return. First, we ascend. ascend to God in adoration, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then we return to ourselves in penitence. Have mercy on me, the sinner. Now, the gulf, the abyss between the divine glory and our human brokenness is bridged in the Jesus Prayer by two words. And these two words are Jesus and mercy. In this connection, we need to recall the literal meaning of the name Jesus. It means salvation. As the angel says before the birth of Christ, Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So, first of all, then, the gulf between glory and sin is bridged by Jesus, who is salvation. Then, the other bridge-building word in the Jesus Prayer is the word mercy. Eleos. What does the word mercy mean to each one of you? To me, it means love in action. Love poured out to heal, to reconcile, to renew. Sometimes people say to me, the Jesus Prayer is rather a gloomy prayer, somber. I don't experience it in that way. I see it as a prayer full of light and hope, because it speaks of salvation and of mercy. Here are some words from Saint Hesychius of Sinai, found in the Philokalia. "Truly blessed is the person whose mind and heart cling as closely to the Jesus Prayer and to the ceaseless invocation of the name as air to the body or flame to the candle. The sun rising over the earth creates the daylight, and the venerable and holy name of Jesus, shining continually in the mind, gives birth to countless thoughts radiant as the sun." When then I pray the Jesus Prayer, it is like an experience of the rising sun. That then is one way in which the Jesus Prayer is all embracing. Glory and forgiveness. But then, we might ask, does it speak to us of the Holy Trinity? Surely, for the Christian, there is no prayer without the Trinity. For the Trinity is the heart of our life. It is true that the Jesus Prayer is not explicitly Trinitarian. It is a Christ-centered prayer. But Christ is invoked as the Son of God. And he who speaks of the Son thinks also of the Father. Also, though he is not named, the Holy Spirit is part of the prayer. One of the New Testament texts which Orthodox writers on the Jesus Prayer continually quote is 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say, Lord Jesus, except in the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is, as it were, the atmosphere, the air, in which we invoke the Holy Name. So, if not explicitly, at least implicitly, the Jesus Prayer is Trinitarian. But it is above all Christ-centered. It is a prayer that speaks to us of the two natures of Jesus our Savior. It speaks to us of his divinity, for he is called Lord and Son of God. It speaks to us of his humanity. He is invoked by the human name Jesus, the name given to him at his incarnation. It speaks to us of him as Savior. So in this way, we may regard the Jesus Prayer not just as rhythmic syllables which we intone to induce calmness and relaxation. No, the Jesus Prayer is far more than that. It is a confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior. Not just a technique, not just a mantra whose meaning we do not understand, but an invocation addressed specifically to another person. It is personal words to a personal Savior. We speak to Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Mary the Virgin. We speak to Jesus Christ, transfigured for me, crucified for me, risen for me, ever living in me. My Lord and my God. Without this personal confession of faith, there is no true Jesus Prayer. There are indeed similar methods of prayer used in yoga and in Zen. And these parallels are well worth exploring. But we should never lose sight of the fact that the Jesus Prayer is addressed specifically to Christ. In the movement that came from the East, reached its height in the late 60s and 70s, the movement known as Transcendental Meditation, people were given a short rhythmic phrase to repeat, a mantra. The guru used to say, this mantra is unique to you personally, and it is secret. You must not tell anyone what your mantra is. But the person receiving the mantra did not know what meaning the syllables had, or whether indeed they had any meaning. In fact, what the teachers in Transcendental Meditation did was to give to people as mantras usually the names of lesser gods and goddesses in the Hindu pantheon. But the Christians who were practicing Transcendental Meditation didn't normally know that. Now, the Jesus Prayer is quite different, which is why I personally don't ever call it a mantra. In the case of the Jesus Prayer, we know whom we are invoking. At least we know in part, as Paul says, through a glass, darkly. Let's pause now and pray the Jesus Prayer. I think the easiest thing will be for me to say the prayer aloud and for you to say it inwardly in your hearts, but not aloud. Trouble is, with so many people here, if we all said it aloud, we should get louder and louder. And that would, I think, destroy part of the spirit of stillness which the Jesus Prayer aims to produce. So let's follow the practice which is pursued by the Orthodox monastery where I sometimes go in Britain, the monastery of St. John the Baptist in Essex, founded by Father Sophroni, the disciple of Starets Silwan of Athos. There, in the evening and in the morning, for about 2 hours, the brothers and sisters meet in church, and they say the Jesus Prayer, but they say it in turn, not all together. But first one person says it 100 times, then another takes up, and then another, in turn. So I will say it a little, and do you follow in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Let's look now at the practice of the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus prayer can be used in two main situations. And these I shall call free and structured. First, the free use. We can use the Jesus prayer during all the odd moments of the day which might otherwise be wasted. When performing mechanical tasks, or when waiting for something to happen, we can say it once or a number of times, while we're dressing, while we're cleaning our room, washing up, walking from one point to another. We can say it, I don't drive a car, when waiting for the bus. I don't know about Los Angeles, but the bus system in my home city of Oxford offers many opportunities for prayer. I find the Jesus prayer very useful at committee meetings. I use the Jesus prayer sometimes inwardly when I'm counseling or when I'm hearing confessions. I wouldn't in that situation use it all the time, because it is important that when counseling, when hearing confessions, I should listen very carefully. But sometimes when you have a meeting with another person, one has a certain feeling of heaviness. The conversation does not seem to break through to the level of meaning. Neither the other nor I myself seem able to say what is really on our hearts. And at such moments as that, if I will say the Jesus prayer inwardly, secretly, just a few times, suddenly the conversation is transfigured. I have found that again and again in personal experience. We can say the Jesus prayer at times of physical pain, insomnia, acute anxiety, extreme nervousness. Sometimes, for example, when I am waiting for someone to arrive and see me, I hear the steps walking up the drive of my house. I know that in a few seconds they'll ring the bell and I'll go and answer the door. And often that's a moment of a certain anxiety for me. What shall I say to this person? I know they're going to perhaps ask me for something that I'm not able to agree to. Or they will bring to me troubles and sadness, and will I be able to find words of healing? Just in those few seconds before the doorbell rings, just in those few seconds before you've actually reached the door and opened it, and how much better to invoke the Lord Jesus on the person who is coming and on yourself than to worry. The aim, then, of this free use of the Jesus prayer is to unite our prayer time with our work time, to make our work also into prayer. In the words of St. Theophan the Recluse, "The hands at work the mind and heart with God. The purpose of this free use of the prayer is to bring Christ into all that we do, to make the secular sacred. But if we are to bring prayer into each passing moment, into each familiar task, we need a prayer that is immediately at hand and instantly available. And that will indeed be the case with the Jesus Prayer if we say it frequently. Let me, at this moment, utter a word of warning. St. James says in his epistle, the double-minded person is unstable in every way. We mustn't be double-minded, dipsychos, inwardly split. We mustn't try to do two things at once, because probably we shall end up by doing neither of them very well. That means don't attempt to keep reciting the Jesus Prayer in situations which require total concentration. Pray the Jesus Prayer while you're waiting for someone to arrive. But when they've come, listen to them. Listen with your whole self. Perhaps on some deep level, prayer will be there. But don't, on the conscious level, keep trying to say a prayer in that situation. A surgeon might well say the Jesus Prayer before he begins the operation. But as he actually performs the heart transplant, where the slightest inattentiveness could be fatal, he needs to be totally gathered into what he's doing. So, by and large, begin with the free use of the Jesus Prayer in the moments that are empty. But don't try and combine it with tasks that require an intense concentration, a gathered attentiveness. Secondly, there is the structured use of the Jesus Prayer. And by that I mean that it is part of our regular prayer time, morning and evening. Here we are trying to say the Jesus Prayer and not anything else. In conditions of outward quiet, so far as possible, with a fully gathered attentiveness. Of course, for most of us, the Jesus Prayer will not be the only form of prayer that we use. It is normally assumed that those who use the Jesus Prayer will also use the familiar prayers in the books for their daily prayer. They will want to use sometimes the Psalms. They will use the scripture reading as well as part of their prayer time. They will want to intercede for different people by name. The Jesus Prayer can enhance all this, but it doesn't, under normal circumstances, replace it. Of course, also, it is assumed that those who use the Jesus Prayer are practicing members of the church, receiving the sacraments, going to Holy Communion. The Jesus Prayer, as I say, enriches and enhances, but does not replace all this. How would we normally say the Jesus Prayer when saying it during our prayer time? We usually say it alone. In the Orthodox tradition, though I mentioned just now a monastery where the members do say it together. But that is the exception. In most Orthodox monasteries, you say the Jesus Prayer after Compline, the last service in the evening, and then after waking up, before the first service at night, before the midnight office. It's a prayer you say normally in your cell. The Jesus prayer is usually said, not chanted, and it's not necessarily said with an outward sound, not necessarily articulated outwardly with our lips. It may be said inwardly. Yet, when it is said inwardly, the words should be distinctly formed within us. There will be moments when we shall be moved not to continue saying the prayer, but simply to rest silent, sitting and looking at God. But we have to be careful here. We may think we are offering silent prayer when, in fact, we are falling into vacancy and dozing off. There's no harm in having a nap every now and then, but that is not the same as prayer of the heart. And lest we confuse things, we are advised in the Orthodox tradition at the beginning to be quite insistent about saying the prayer. The entry into silence may come later, but we shouldn't overhasten it. Most commonly, the Jesus prayer is said seated. On Mount Athos, they use a low stool about 9 inches high, and they often adopt a crouching position. I recommend to people, at any rate, who are beginning the Jesus prayer, to sit on an ordinary chair, a chair with a back but without arms. Don't cross your legs. Try to be as comfortable and as still as possible. Usually we say the Jesus prayer with our eyes closed. Aha, you will say, but if you sit with your eyes closed and repeat the same phrase over and over again, what will happen? You go to sleep. All right, if you're getting sleepy, stand up, make a few prostrations, right down to the ground with your forehead on the ground, stand up again, and we'll do that about 20 times. That'll wake you up. And you can start again with the prostrations when necessary. For those who are beginning the Jesus Prayer, I would say 10 to 15 minutes at a time is quite enough. Don't overdo it. And I would also add that we can use the Jesus Prayer in a free way as we go about our daily tasks without necessarily making it part of our structured prayer time. I do not say the Jesus Prayer is a prayer for everyone without exception. As I stressed, there is freedom in prayer. Some people don't find the Jesus Prayer helpful as part of their prayer time. All right. But they can still use it freely. The aim of the structured use of the Jesus Prayer is listening, to attain inner stillness, creative silence. And here we may recall the words of a desert father, Evagrius of Pontus. Prayer means the shedding of thoughts. The Jesus Prayer, that is to say, unlike the Western Rosary, is not a form of discursive meditation in which we reflect upon successive incidents in the life of Christ. It is rather a prayer of total presence. We do not think about particular events in the Gospels as we say the Jesus Prayer. We do not think about specific words of Christ. We do not speculate about various theological truths. We do not deliberately form pictures. If the images occur, and of course they will, what we do is let them go, shed them. Our aim when saying the Jesus Prayer is to gather ourselves into a simple sense of presence. Yes, of course, our mind wanders away. But each time our mind wanders, as we say the Jesus Prayer, we bring it back, gently without impatience and anger, gently but firmly, return to the center, the invocation of the Holy Name. As your mind wanders away again, return to the center. That's the great advantage of the Jesus Prayer. We don't have to keep thinking, what am I going to say next? Where was I? The prayer is there, immediately available. So when you started thinking about your lunch, which perhaps some of you are thinking about already now, you can come back again to the presence of Jesus through this invocation, which grows more and more familiar, more and more part of us, instantly available. Perhaps we begin now to see what is the function of the Jesus Prayer. It is to still our ever-active mind. That is the aim. To move from multiplicity to simplicity, from fragmentation to wholeness. It's no use my saying to myself, stop thinking. I might as well say, stop breathing. I cannot turn off the inner television set by a simple effort of will. But what I can do is to assign to my ever-active mind a task that is specific and yet at the same time simple. The constant invocation of the Holy Name. In other words, I can't just by an effort of will stop the distractions when I'm praying, but what I can do is detach myself from them. Say you are sitting in your room and you can hear the sound of the traffic outside. Now, you can, if you choose, concentrate your attention on the noise of the traffic. You can say, isn't it dreadful? It goes on all the time. I hate it. I cannot think. If you do that, you are being totally unconstructive. It doesn't help you at all. But if you wish, you can simply let the noise of the traffic go. You can detach yourself from it. You can think about what you are reading or writing. And of course, on one level of your consciousness, the noise of the traffic is still going on outside. But you don't have to listen to it. In fact, if you having a talk with somebody who you find is very interesting, then you won't notice the traffic at all. Now, we can treat our distractions in prayer in this kind of way. We can let them go. Don't by angry effort of will push the distractions away. That merely makes it worse and destroys inner peace. But let them recede into the distance as you return to the center. Don't listen to the cars outside. Don't listen to the inner static crackling inside your brain. Return to the center. Jesus Christ, present in my heart. Now, we have certain external helps when we say the Jesus Prayer. First of all, in the Orthodox tradition, we are taught that it is highly desirable, if we possibly can, to find a spiritual guide. What in the ancient Celtic Christian tradition was called amchara, a soul friend, a spiritual father or mother who will act as our companion, one who is familiar with the pathway. A second aid, on a rather different level, is the use of a prayer rope. This is the Orthodox equivalent of the Western Rosary, but it's not exactly the same as the Rosary, because we don't use it to say the Hail Mary, but we use it to say the Jesus Prayer. And the Orthodox prayer rope is usually not with beads, but with knotted wool or cord. So it's silent in use. It's what the Greeks call konvoskynion, and the Russians call chotki or vervitsa. Incidentally, we ought to distinguish between konvoskynion, the prayer rope, and konvologion, worry beads. You'll often see in Greece the men playing with beads in their hands. Probably the worry beads have the same origin as the prayer rope, but today they've become a little different. A rather idealistic friend of mine went to Greece some time ago, and when he returned, he said to me, "Greece is a marvelous country." Well, so it is. But he continued, "They are also spiritual. In the cafes, there are the men smoking, playing cards, drinking ouzo, but all the time they're saying the Jesus Prayer." I'm afraid he confused the prayer rope with what he means. Now, the purpose of the prayer rope is not primarily to measure the quantity of times that we say the Jesus Prayer, but that doesn't really matter. As St. Isaac the Syrian says, "I do not want to count milestones, but to enter the marriage chamber." No, the purpose of the Jesus Prayer is to assist regular rhythmical repetition. The Jesus Prayer should be, so we are told, like a gently flowing stream. It is a fact of experience that if we give our hands something to do as we pray, this will help us to be more gathered and less restless. We shan't fidget so much. And now a third aid in saying the Jesus Prayer. In the Orthodox tradition, sometimes the Jesus Prayer is linked to the rhythm of the breathing. I don't propose to say very much about that today, because we are told it is better not to try control of the breathing in prayer and various other aspects of a psychosomatic technique when saying the Jesus Prayer that I could also mention. It's better not to try these unless you've got a spiritual guide. You need personal direction. In a very simple way, there is, however, no harm in relating the Jesus Prayer to the rhythm of our breathing. We can say the first half of the prayer as we breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and we can say the second half of the prayer as we breathe out, have mercy on me, the sinner. But anything more elaborate requires spiritual guidance. The aim of this breathing technique is to involve our body in prayer. Glorify God with your body, says St. Paul. But how are we to do that? Well, if we slow down the rhythm of our breathing, and if we integrate the prayer with the rhythm of our breathing, that may help to involve our body as well. Christians all too often distance themselves from their body and don't really want to use the body in the spiritual life. I remember years ago in the University of London, there was a professor of philosophy, Professor H.D. Lewis, not to be confused with C.S. Lewis. H.D. Lewis, in a rather Platonizing manner, was much inclined to stress the difference between soul and body. His students used to say of him, Professor Highwell Lewis does not go for a walk. He takes his body for a walk. Well, that is not the true Christian view of the body. The body is not something that I have or use. I am my body, and my body is me. So, in prayer, it is good to involve the body. We want to make prayer part of ourselves, not just something that I do, but something that I am. What about the speed of the Jesus Prayer? Find your own rhythm. Do not hurry. Do not, on the other hand, drag out the recitation of the words. Do not recite them with excessive emphasis. Don't, as you say the Jesus Prayer, shout inwardly, for violence achieves nothing. Don't say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, the sinner. If you do that, actually, you'll find very soon you'll get tired of praying. And it doesn't help. We want the fire of the Spirit, not man-made steam. If you do link the Jesus Prayer with your breathing, then slow down your breathing tempo. One last word. Some people say to me, is it not selfish to go alone into our room, shut the door, to close our eyes, and to say, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Isn't the Jesus Prayer antisocial, world-denying? I would answer with two sayings. The first is from the great Russian 19th century saint, Seraphim of Sarov. He says, acquire inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation. Acquire inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation. And my second word is from one who was Secretary General of the United Nations some years ago, who had an extremely active and stressful life, Dag Hammarskjöld. He says, understand through the stillness, act out of the stillness, conquer in the stillness. The aim of the Jesus Prayer is to acquire inner peace, to make us thereby a woman or man for others. If we really do gain inner peace, we shall have a creative effect on others around us. Because we have prayed alone, in secret, with the door shut, for perhaps no more than 5 or 10 minutes a day, then, throughout all the other minutes and hours of the day, we shall be available to others, open to their concerns, loving, Christ-like, in a way that would be otherwise impossible. Acquire inner peace, and thousands around you will find their salvation. Again, let us hear the word of Dag Hammarskjöld. Act out of the stillness. If I have no inner stillness, no depth, if I am not in contact with my heart, then my words will be empty noises. I shall be perhaps hyperactive, but ineffective. But if by God's grace I can learn, even to a small degree, to speak and act out of stillness, if my word to others becomes a word out of silence, then it will be a word of fire, a word of healing, a word of transfiguration. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Thank you for listening.